The Western Cape High Court judgment handed down by Judge Elizabeth Bartman on Monday has given relief to many asylum seekers who have been unable to renew their visas for valid reasons. The Home Affairs Department now has been interdicted from implementing certain provisions of the Refugees Act and new regulations which sought to return asylum seekers back to their home country where they could face detention without trial, simply for being a month late in renewing a visa. It was the Scalabrini Centre of Cape Town that sought to prevent the short and long-term operation of the abandonment provisions, as the provisions infringed on asylum seekers' rights to life, to freedom and security of person, dignity and equality. We'll be speaking to the head of advocacy and legal advisor at Scalabrini Center of Cape Town, that's Sally Gander, this half an hour. And then later this hour, we speak to Maurice Smithers. Maurice is a director of the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance. They're calling for an urgent restriction on the sale of alcohol ahead of this festive season. They're obviously worried about the COVID-19 infections and the numbers and which direction they are going. As you know, the president will this morning be chairing a meeting of the presidential, it's called the PCC, that is made up of ministers and others, the president's coordinating council rather. This follows the National COVID-19 Council meeting, and I imagine an announcement then is forthcoming from the president regarding whatever new restrictions they might be putting in place. We'll find out from Maurice Smithers while he believes there should be a restriction on the sale of alcohol. It's 8 minutes past five.
Africa is taking your calls on 021-446-0567.
We start though with a call from Vusi in Parktown. In the previous hour, we took a call from Smoo in Dobsonville, who was lamenting racism in the judiciary in this country. And Vusi, you want to contribute to that. Good morning.
Morning. Adam.
Go ahead, Vusi. You're live on air.
Yes. I would like to comment. I don't know whether it is racism in the justice system, because we are receiving complaints about these two white guys who killed a 15-year-old, but also forgetting about a case of Andile Lungisa now. He beat a white guy or a councillor. I'm not quite sure is it a white guy, a gay councillor. But now he's out in 2 months. In 2 months he's out. Can you say it's racism, or are we quick to jump to conclusion of racism? Maybe it is the incompetence or in the court, in the investigation, or what?
Obviously, those are all important questions, I suppose. What Smu had demonstrated, though, during his call, are specific examples where black people had received what he perceives are very sort of stringent jail sentences, if you like, as a result, and arguing that if it were a white person who was on the receiving end of those sentencing terms, that they would be a lot lighter, a lot more lenient than would be the case for black people.
Okay. So, but what can you say about the case of Lungisa? He's a black guy, but he's out in just 2 months.
The Department of Correctional Services argues that the population in the correctional services system is overwhelmed. We know this. And in the time of COVID-19, the Department of Justice and Correctional Services had made the call to relieve the pressure on the system by releasing a few convicted criminals who are convicted of crimes that are not serious. So no murderers, no rapists, no armed robbers would be released. But Andile Lungisa, who had assaulted a fellow DA, well, not a fellow, but a DA councillor in Nelson Mandela Bay, had been sentenced to 3 years, 1 year of which was suspended. So he was only going to serve 2 years. And clearly, his sentence falls into the category considered by the department to be not serious enough for him then to be released, even though he's only been in jail for about 2 months. Vusi, thank you very much for your call. It's 11 minutes past five.
Early Breakfast with Africa Milani
on Cape Talk.
Let's talk about that judgment now handed down in the Western Cape High Court this past Monday. Sally Ganda is the head of advocacy and legal advisor at the Scalabrini Center in Cape Town. Sally, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa. Thanks so much.
Perhaps before we discuss the judgment, let's understand what Scalabrini Center was seeking in court. What did you take to the court for consideration?
Sure. So the judgment is actually, it's in relation to the first part of what we were seeking. So the court application is divided into Part A and Part B. Part A was an urgent interdict to stop the Department of Home Affairs from implementing certain provisions that were contained in the Refugees Amendment Act, which came into force on the 1st of January this year. And then Part B is a constitutional challenge to those provisions. So Part B still has to be heard, but the urgent interdict has. And the provisions are in relation to what the department had put in the Amendment Act is they'd said that if an asylum seeker is 1 month late in renewing their document, then their application may be considered abandoned. And so what would essentially happen is without Home Affairs considering the merits of the asylum claim itself, they might have considered a claim abandoned and the person would have then been returned to their country of origin. And that would mean that a person could be returned to a country where they could face persecution or harm simply because they were a month late in renewing their visa.
And so what happened on Monday, Sally, the Department of Home Affairs has been indicted from doing what exactly?
Sure. So on Monday, we got judgment and we were represented pro bono by Norton Rose Fulbright. And the judgment has interdicted, so stopped the department from implementing those provisions. So the department may not implement the provisions relating to abandoned applications that are contained in the Refugees Act. So they can't say to an asylum seeker, you are a month late, and so we are referring your decision, your application. We're not going to consider it. We're deciding that you must return home to your country.
And that will be in play up until that provision then has been tested in a court of law, possibly all the way up to the Constitutional Court. And if needs be, the lawmakers are instructed then to reword, if you like, those clauses that you guys are unhappy with.
Yes. So I think what's important in the judgment on Monday did say this is South Africa, I mean, we've got our constitution. We're also obligated in terms of international law not to return someone to a place where they will face harm. So let's take a real-world example. So, a refugee could have fled a country if they were facing female genital mutilation, or an LGBT person from a country in one of the countries in Africa may have fled because of persecution related to their sexual orientation. And let's say they'd faced problems in trying to renew their visa, which we know is difficult in South Africa because there are only refugee reception offices that people can approach in Mosina, Pretoria, Durban, PE, and sometimes in Cape Town. And so there are lots of barriers to getting to those offices to renew your documents. These are people that often don't have steady jobs or a steady income, and they're expected usually, not under COVID, but usually to renew the document every 3, 4, or 6 months at a time. And so there are huge barriers to renewing that document. And if you're a month late, then what Home Affairs could have said is, we're going to return you to this country. And that return is a violation of this international law rule of non-refoulement, which says that you can't return a country. And it's also a violation of rights that that we hold dear in our Bill of Rights. And so that's, you're correct in saying that Home Affairs cannot implement those provisions now until the second part of our constitutional application has been heard, possibly all the way up to the Crown Court.
And any idea as to when the second part of the application then will be heard?
Well, that's now our priority. So we're chatting to our attorneys, and we'd obviously like that second part to be heard as soon as possible. We'll have to apply for the relevant court dates and then take things from there.
What numbers are we talking about here, Sally? How many people are likely to be impacted by this judgment from the Western Cape High Court on Monday?
So in the court application, we had provided evidence that it was from the Department of Home Affairs itself of a number of people that had already been impacted by the time that we went to court. And we went to court in March, and then the hearing, there were numerous delays, and the hearing only took place in October. But by that time, Home Affairs had said that 396, I think, is the number, but I stand corrected. It was over 300. 300 people had already, applications had already been considered for under these clauses. So that's the number that had been processed or in the 2.5 months up until just before the country went into lockdown. In terms of numbers of asylum seekers in the country more generally, on the 1st of January this year, it was reported by Home Affairs that the total number of active asylum files on their system was just over 188,000 people.
Those are staggering numbers. And sadly, and I know this simply because we've had multiple conversations with centers and organizations such as yours, the Department of Home Affairs continues to, I suppose, woefully, is that the appropriate adjective to use, but underserve this particular part of their job. The refugee center in Cape Town, you rightly said, sometimes it's open, sometimes it's not. And it doesn't matter, it seems, how many court processes have been concluded. The Department of Home Affairs is not, you know, is it fair to say they're not in a hurry to fix this? Because had their systems been more efficient, we would not be sitting with the situation that we're sitting with at the moment.
Absolutely. Look, Scalabrini Centre has been litigating against Home Affairs for years in respect of the decision to close the Cape Town Refugee Reception Office. And we were successful all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Constitutional Court rejected Home Affairs' appeal. So there is a court judgment against Home Affairs saying that they should have, or they must back then, open a fully functional refugee reception office in Cape Town before the end of March 2018. So it's now, it'll almost be 3 years later next year, and that hasn't been done. Parliament's looked into it. We are, again, we've gone back to court on that matter, and we're waiting for a hearing date. So that's the one thing. I think we have to also think about the impact of COVID and the fact that, you know, all those 188,000 asylum seeker documents, as well as many refugee documents, which are valid for longer, they're usually valid for 4 years, have on the face of the document expired during the lockdown because the refugee reception offices across the country have been closed. And while thankfully the minister has issued a general renewal and said that all these documents are deemed to be renewed until the 31st of January, what's quite scary, and I think I'm not a public health specialist, but I think that we've all kind of grown very used to COVID precautions. What's very scary is that in the Home Affairs directions, they've said after the 31st of January, people will have a month to renew their documents. And so that means all of that 188,000, as well as others in the 80,000 refugee documents, will have to go to one of those refugee offices that I mentioned earlier to renew their documents in a month after the 31st of January. And so if you do the math, I mean, that just means thousands of people per day. It's a massive movement of people. We're already seeing this resurgence in the Western Cape, for example. And that, I think that, yeah, just from a public health perspective, there's a huge concern that we should be looking at and that Home Affairs should be considering with respect to the fact that they haven't provided renewal services, whereas most other Home Affairs services to citizens have now been resumed.
Yeah. Sally, a lot of work for you and the Scalabrini Centre ahead. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Sally Gander is the Head of Advocacy and Legal Advisor at Scalabrini Centre of Cape Town.